It's been more than a year since Governor Andrew Cuomo imposed lockdown measures in New York to curtail the spread of COVID-19, essentially hitting pause on the economy and instigating unemployment levels we haven't seen since the Great Depression. As we pass this mile marker in the pandemic, we want to do a deep dive into the economic data that is available to see how far we've fallen since those heady days of February 2020 and how much we've rebounded from last March. To make sense of the numbers, we spoke Tuesday morning to Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Welcome back to the show, Russell.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with the year-to-year comparison, looking at February of 2020, really the last month that wasn't significantly affected by COVID-19, and this past February. How different are these two pictures, and are there any numbers that really stand out to you?
Well, of course, we see a lot of difference. Before the pandemic, we were experiencing a relatively booming economy with some of the lowest unemployment numbers that we've seen in years, at least since the Great Recession. And so the fact that we're still at about 6% unemployment here now, more than a year later, is double where we were before that. And so there are still a lot of signs of concern. The labor force has shrunk since then, so we're still missing a lot of folks from the labor force. And even with our last national jobs report that just came out last week, we're still down about 8.4 million jobs from where we were prior to the start of the pandemic back in February. And so there's still a lot of recovering that needs to happen. We did get some optimism recently. There have been growth in jobs that exceeded expectations between February and March. That could be a sign of expectations from the American Rescue Plan, from the vaccine, and reopening happening at a faster pace now. But we are still down, like I said, by 8.4 million jobs.
Can you put New York's experience into the context of the nation as a whole when it comes to jobs lost and jobs recovered? I mean, are we seeing the same bounce back as the rest of the country? Are we lagging? What's it look like?
So for New York, we have been one of the hardest hit states. That tracks with us being one of the hardest hit states initially with the COVID-19 pandemic itself. But when we look at New York's standing relative to the nation, the most recent accurate jobs numbers that we have at the state scale were from February, and New York had the second highest unemployment rates in the country at that time at 8.9%. When you look at the actual number of jobs lost, it's basically Hawaii, Nevada, and New York in terms of the biggest relative losses in jobs since prior to the pandemic, with New York still down by about 11 to 12% of jobs that it had before the pandemic. And so a lot of that does have to do with, when you think about those three states in context, all three are big tourist destinations, with New York City being a major attraction here. And we also have a large service industry in the state of New York. And so that plays a big role, as does the fact that because we were hit harder by the pandemic, we haven't been reopening as fast as other states. Depending on your position, that could be a very good thing to reduce risk. However, that does come with additional economic hardship as businesses aren't able to reopen.
I'm glad you mentioned the service sector jobs, because they were some of the first to be impacted by the pandemic since they interact directly with a lot of people on a daily basis. When you consider the recovery of this sector, is the bounce back close to where it was pre-pandemic? And do you have any sense of whether certain sectors have recovered faster, like restaurants or retail?
Sure. Well, statewide, if we look at the leisure and hospitality sector, again, this data, the most recent accurate data we have comes from about mid-February at this point. But from mid-February back to January 2020, so over a year ago now, the number of leisure and hospitality jobs in New York State are still down by 34%, which is pretty well ahead of the national average, which is about 30%, and that's still a devastating number. But certainly in New York, because of the higher concentration of service sector jobs, the disproportionately high concentration here, we have been hit a bit harder. In terms of retail, retail jobs are still down by about 12% as far as we can see. That tends to get clumped up in some of these data points with transportation services, the delivery drivers as well. And so it's not clear exactly which of those sectors is more hard hit. But certainly we have a lot of reason to believe that retail might even be higher than that 12% gap from where we were prior to the start of the pandemic. So those are not coming back statewide. There have been lifted restrictions in terms of attending sporting events and going to tourist attractions. They're not at 100% capacity yet, and so certainly that's going to play a role in those locations' ability to rehire workers. And they're still dealing with the fact, even though it's typical to hear that folks are exhausted with the pandemic, they're ready to get back into action. There is still some hesitation out there with not everyone having received a vaccination yet, with the United States and New York State having not reached herd immunity. There is still some consumer hesitation on whether or not we are going to go out to those high-density tourist attractions and interact with other folks in close proximity.
You're listening to the Capital Press Room, and we're discussing the New York economic picture. And our guest is Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Because service sector jobs disproportionately employ women and people of color, what does their economic outlook look like right now, a year later?
So that's a great point. And I mentioned that we are still about 8.5 million jobs in the hole as a nation from where we were prior to the start of the pandemic. Many of those jobs are in the sectors that we've been talking about, leisure and hospitality and retail trade. Those jobs are disproportionately held by persons of color and women, and those jobs are also disproportionately low-wage jobs, which means that the folks that have been out of work relatively long-term are individuals who might not have been making a living wage to begin with, and who are seeing their economic struggles really start to compound. And so just as an example, so there's a collaborative data effort through Harvard, Brown University, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation called Opportunity Insights, and it's been tracking W-2s and other payroll data throughout the recovery. And in New York State, I mentioned that we're still about 11 to 12% behind in terms of the jobs that we have now relative to January 2020. For low-wage jobs, again, thinking retail and leisure and hospitality, that number is minus 34%. So those jobs haven't really come back yet, and that has a lot of implications for who's still out of work and struggling to find work. The jobs report that we did just get from the Bureau of Labor Statistics at the tail end of last week arguably was the most positive report that we've seen in a while, where for most demographic groups, we did see almost in unison, unemployment rates start to tick down. So for white Americans, African Americans, and Hispanic and Latinx Americans. However, that was not the case for Asian Americans. That's a subgroup to really pay attention to now in the moment that we're in right now in terms of anti-Asian sentiments and anti-Asian violence. Asian Americans' unemployment rate actually ticked up. However, for other groups, it went down. For men and women, the unemployment rate went down both. And the sort of, if you want to call them gaps or differences in unemployment rates for men and women workers are starting to go back to what they were prior to the pandemic. So anecdotally, there's a ton of evidence out there about the burdens of care falling disproportionately on women. That's true. The labor force is down for women. The unemployment rate is starting to fall, though, as well. And so we might start to see some better balance there going forward. However, the long-term implications are still trending toward the disproportionate impacts are on women and persons of color, and women of color in particular.
Is there any indication that with these workers who have been in the service sector and have been unemployed for a long time, or like you said, those caregivers who might have pulled themselves out of the labor sector to either look after kids who are learning remotely, or elder parents who might not be able to care for themselves, is there any indication that these people who might have stopped looking for work and maybe aren't being counted in our unemployment figures anymore?
Yes. So a lot of the official unemployment rates that we see will be undercounts and low estimates, because the official unemployment rate is based on the civilian labor force. And that basically extends to people who are out of work but have looked for work in the past few weeks. And so discouraged workers aren't going to be included in there. There are alternative measures of labor underutilization that try to account for those discouraged and marginally attached workers. However, those are always undercounts as well. And so the hardship that we see on paper doesn't really tell the full story of what's going on out there in folks' households.
Well, does it seem like the number of New Yorkers who are no longer looking for work is higher than it was, say, a year ago, or a little bit more than a year pre-pandemic?
Right. So I don't have those numbers offhand, but based on the national trends, I would say yes. So the size of people who are actively in the labor force is down across the board, and that does include in New York State.
What sort of white-collar job loss are we looking at from February to February, and how low did the numbers actually get during the pandemic?
So that's a really good question, because that's another place where we start to see some of these intersecting forces, and we get to understand how hardship has been unequally distributed across here. So again, just going back to the optimistic report that we have from the Bureau of Labor Statistics last week, if we look at white-collar jobs, so things like professional occupations or management occupations, the unemployment rates in those occupations are almost back to pre-pandemic levels. We're talking about 3%, 3.1% in that range, where for a lot of service sector jobs, the unemployment rate is still in the 8 to 9, some cases even close to 10% range. And so that's an indication that a lot of those professional jobs, a lot of white-collar jobs were able to possibly transition to remote work fairly easily, where a lot of the working-class jobs that were in establishments where you are required to interact with people quite frequently, those jobs were either frontline workers who were still in their grocery store jobs or still out there delivering goods and maybe disproportionately exposed and to coronavirus and at risk during the pandemic, or there are folks that are still struggling to find work now because their jobs haven't come back. And so there is a lot of unevenness in who was able to sort of adapt and continue to work during the past year plus, and those who are on long-term unemployment still.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our discussion about the New York economy with Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our discussion about the New York economy, and our guest is Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. In the early days of the pandemic, as tax revenues were drying up, local governments and school districts were warning of layoffs. Has the public workforce shrunk in New York since February of 2020?
Yes. So state government and local government jobs have been down across the board. And a lot of that, I should preface that by saying, a lot of that, too, has been in state and local government education, because many schools have not been able to reopen or reopen full time. And so with the demand for remote work and telelearning, a lot of the workforce in education was not able to be rehired to this point in time. So that's a concerning area in and of itself. However, there are non-education jobs that were also bled throughout the course of the pandemic at the state and local government levels. We did see this past week some signs that might start to shift, where there were gains in state and local government positions nationwide between February and March. And so the thing about the jobs report that comes out every month is the data are collected early in the month. And so we're seeing initial signs of potentially the American Rescue Plan coming to the aid of state and local governments. I think the April report that we see next month will show a bigger boost in state and local government jobs, and that should extend over to New York State as well, which is set to benefit from those federal funds that are coming in.
As you look at New York geographically, are there any surprising trends, or is it what you would kind of expect in the sense that New York City was hit hard by the pandemic, so they had a lot of job loss and they are recovering a little slower, and you know, some upstate communities that might have been lagging economically previously are still, you know, slow to recover as well?
That's exactly right. So, of course, downstate has been hit the hardest and has suffered the longest and still has the highest unemployment rates and levels of job loss in the state. The upstate metros, especially where I am over here in Buffalo, the change in private sector jobs between February of last year and February of this year, we're still down 10% Rochester and Syracuse are a little bit lower than that, in the 7 to 8 to 9% level in terms of jobs lost year over year. And so those are, some communities that are deindustrialized that, have seen job creation in recent years. A lot of it has gone to service sector jobs. And so those areas have been disproportionately impacted as well. With some of the more rural metros, I don't want to say faring better or faring well, because no region has really made it through the pandemic unscathed, but with less relative job loss to speak of.
It's widely accepted that the recovery from the 2008 crash was prolonged because the federal government didn't go far enough in terms of getting the economy going. With three major stimulus packages approved by Washington, D.C. in the last 13 months and potentially more on the way, what sort of bounce back are you anticipating with this recession?
One of the greatest things about this last stimulus package is that it has lined up with wider distribution of the vaccine as well. And so the stimulus is coming and coming into effect at a time where confidence is increasing in the ability to reopen. However, you have these two phenomena sort of colliding in terms of wider accessibility of vaccinations, as well as more money being put into the economy. There are signs that the federal government is going to be reinvesting more in things like the American Jobs Plan and infrastructure. And so this influx of funds should generate some confidence. And there are some early signs that after that American Rescue Plan was adopted, consumer spending went back up to levels that may have even exceeded what they were in January of 2020. And so that increase in consumer spending is going to drive demand. And that's how so many of our businesses are able to reopen, that they have that inbuilt demand, they're able to generate revenue, and then hopefully hire back workers.
Is there a limit on consumer spending as long as there are limitations on what businesses can be open, though?
Yes, absolutely. And so, a couple of stimulus checks to households and, somewhat larger scale business reopening is all well and good, but bills have been accumulating for over a year now. And so those one-off stimulus checks aren't going to be enough to sustain the millions of workers who have been out of work for such a long time. And so there is still going to be, I believe, some hesitation, maybe a bit of fear in going out there and spending too much too quickly. So we are going to see a lag here. Based on the jobs report that we did get last week of, nearly a million jobs created month over month, 916,000, even at that pace, which far exceeded expectations of most economists, we would still be about a year away from getting back to pre-pandemic levels. And that doesn't even account for the job growth that might have happened but for the pandemic. So there's still a long haul here. A couple of even large-scale stimulus packages aren't going to be quite enough. We are going to still need to support businesses, and especially households and consumers. But one data point that I could bring up just to speak to that point a bit clearer, in New York State, the number of small businesses that are open today is about 37% lower than it was at the start of the calendar year in 2020. And so that's, again, just one single data point that illustrates the degree of severity that small businesses have experienced over the course of the pandemic so far.
When New York's economy gets back to pre-pandemic levels in the next year or two or whatever, do you think it will look the same as it did 13 months ago, or has the economy been transformed by this experience?
I'm certainly hopeful that that's going to be the case. I believe you will find that a lot of establishments have been able to transition to mostly or predominantly remote work fairly easily, and that they've now figured it out since they've been running that model for over a year. And so I think we will see an increase in teleworking in some sectors. I am also optimistic that given the depth of reporting on the extended hardship that have been faced by low-wage workers, workers of color, and women throughout the pandemic, that some of the jobs that have been lost, that we reevaluate those jobs and try to think about whether the service sector jobs, the leisure and hospitality and retail trade jobs that were paying below living wages, if there's a way to bring those jobs back and reinvest in people through things like this American Rescue Act and the American Jobs Plan that was just announced a couple of weeks ago as well, reinvesting in workers and ensuring that they are earning living wages. You know, large-scale investments into the care economy could be a consequence of what we've all experienced over the past year.
Our conversation has focused almost entirely on the federal response to the economic downturn. Is there something the state could have done or should be doing right now to promote job growth or to have made sure that some jobs could have been retained? Or is the scope of this problem something that New York never really could have grappled with to begin with?
I think the latter point is spot on. That this is something that really we do need all levels of government sort of collaborating and providing, you know, positive feedbacks and reinforcements to each other's programs. However, just the scale of the pandemic and the duration of it is something that I don't think any states would be capable of driving the recovery and driving the ship there. However, there are a number of state-level actions that can help people and businesses during these times. New York State did take several of them, things like moratoriums on utility shutoffs and water shutoffs, extending the time horizon for which there could be no evictions for missed rent payments, providing foreclosure prevention assistance to homeowners. So those are the types of actions, those direct support to households and businesses that are needed. We're also learning now how to be better prepared in the future to have stockpiles of protective equipment to supply to businesses in real time as these types of events unfold in the future.
Well, we've been speaking with Russell Weaver. He's an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Russell, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.